paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back yet again, episode 66. Thank you guys, every one of you, for tuning into the pod. And we're excited about this episode. We're always excited at this time of the year because the biggest fashion event of the year takes place around this time, and that is Paris Fashion Week. And as usual, it is the shoes or the footwear that seems to steal all the headlines. So we will be using this episode to go through some of the biggest sneakers that were, or at least the most notable sneakers that were seen at Paris Fashion Week. Some of these are even not sneakers, if I'm going to be honest. But yeah, there's a lot that took place in the last week, and we're very excited for the upcoming shoes. This is the event that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the year. So lots to get into, but before we do that, my man Fobs, how you been, bro?
What up? Yeah, man, I'm good. Looking forward to the episode. As you said, Fashion Week most definitely sets the tone, gives us all a sneak preview to, you know, what's to come in the following months. A lot of these shoes will not come out until the fall winter 24 season. Some of them do come out a little bit earlier in the summer, so yeah, it's basically one big preview for sneakerheads. And also, I find a really good way to measure brands against each other early. So like if anyone's into doing like power rankings or, you know, comparing brands and predicting which brand will have a better year, which, you know, obviously we've done on this podcast and a lot of other people do, you know, talking with friends or on social media, Fashion Week is a good measure because you get a sneak preview of what's to come. You can see who's working with who and, you know, what sneakers look to be the sneaker of the year. But before we get too much into that, I mean, I'm doing good. What about you, man? We are in the middle of Berlin winter, so I bet you're probably just waiting for warmer weather, huh?
Yeah, man. It's the most miserable time of the year, if I'm being honest. Like, I think I've maybe left my house 3 times this last week, and all 3 times were to go to the gym. I haven't been going out pretty much at all the last couple of weeks, because you know what, there's not a whole lot to do. Berlin's pretty quiet this time of the year, so yeah, man, this is really a year of change for me. So I wanted to first of all change up the entire background of my videos. I had that sneaker wall for a long time, which was just a bunch of like IKEA bookshelves, if I'm being honest. So I wanted to just, you know, give my videos a different look. So I've been trying to work on this new background. But unfortunately, my deliveries didn't even come in this week. They were delayed, and I still basically I'm just waiting. I have like half a background going right now, so that's been kind of annoying. But yeah, man, I'm excited to get a bit creative with it and see what I can cook up. So let's get into our listener of the week, and that is at Ryan_20. Shout out to you, Ryan, for tuning in to our episodes. And now we got to get into, you know, what we have been wearing lately. So I did mention that I haven't been leaving my house that much, and my amazing fiance introduced me to house shoes recently, which I know is a very German thing. But yeah. And I've always kind of never got the concept of wearing shoes in the house. But these house shoes, man, it's gotten to a point where I never take them off my feet. So as I get into bed every night, I just leave them right by my bed. And then I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is put on the house shoes. they're amazing. Like, why isn't house shoes a more popular thing? It's so cozy, especially in the wintertime. Oh man, like I absolutely love these. And I think she got these shoes for me from Walmart when she was in Canada last year. And I think they only cost like $10. They're from the brand Etnies, you know, that skateboarding brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, so like, man, I've been living in my house shoes, bro, if I'm being honest. Do you have house shoes? You must.
No, actually, house Nah, dude, because I grew up in Asia, right? So in Asia, you take your shoes off and your socks, right? And you don't, like,
Right.
you respect someone's house by doing that. So I grew up wearing like barefoot basically, inside and outside most of the time. I find the concept of house shoes a little bit weird as well. I would say there's different types of house shoes, right? Like what I'm gathering from you is yours are like the very like fluffy,
Yes.
comfortable kind. And that is obviously one big house shoe type. But then another one is actually a lot of people in Germany wear Birkenstocks as house shoes too.
Oh,
So
yeah.
they'll have a pair just for inside and they'll wear them because they're obviously good for your feet with a cork footbed that kind of molds to your foot. Like I know my parents, I think, definitely wore Birkenstocks as house shoes. And my mom still does actually, but I don't have house shoes, man. I hate wearing socks at home too. Like I'm straight like barefoot.
So do Germans find it really weird that Birkenstocks have become so popular and everyone's just wearing them outside with their regular outfits?
Well, no, so Birkenstocks, like you'll like a real traditional German or stereotypical German will have like his inside Birkenstocks and his outside Birkenstocks, you know? So, or his like gardening Birkenstocks. So I don't think they think it's
One Burke
weird.
for each activity.
Exactly. They probably think it's weird that it's become so fashionable and stylish, but and also expensive, man. But I mean that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, well, so I've been rocking the house shoes, my Kith Sambas, which came in last year, the black, or I mean the dark green one, which I personally just call black because it looks very black to me. Super comfortable, man. I just can't get my feet off of them because they're just the most comfortable Sambas I own. And then there's the Vomero 5, the oatmeal colorway, which I've been wearing a lot lately. And I'm just prioritizing comfort, really, these days. But I've also, just to, throw in a little pop of color in some of my outfits, I have been wearing my Wales Bonner leopard fur shoes quite a lot recently as well. Yeah, that's kind of been my rotation in the last couple of weeks. What about yours?
Yeah, I've honestly been living in my Suicoke Uggs. So they're not Uggs, but they look like Uggs. They're these like Suicoke is that Japanese I guess sandal brand, but they do make shoes too. And the ones I have, they have basically like this like leather suede upper, and then inside is obviously fur, so it's super nice and warm. But the advantage these have over Uggs is that A, they look a little bit cooler, and B, they've got a Vibram sole, so they're actually a lot better to walk in. They are grippier when it's snowing or icy out, and the footbed is actually really comfortable. They've got like this nice EVA footbed that I find a lot more comfortable than UGG footbeds. So yeah, that's really what I've been wearing because it's been nasty out. It's been cold out. So if I'm not going for a jog, I'm like wearing my Suicokes and just walking to the park or to the wherever I go. I even wore them to the office the other day and I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just gonna, just rock comfort over everything. So that's been me the past few weeks.
These are a really interesting looking pair of Uggs because they're the way they kind of like slope down as opposed to most Uggs that have that very round toe. And so these look a little bit more like sleeker, more slimmer than most Uggs.
Yeah, I definitely recommend them. They're as expensive as Uggs, and Uggs are pretty expensive. I was surprised. Like Uggs cost like upwards of 220 euros, 250, which is crazy.
Retail on these Sweet Oak Uggs right now is 297 euros, but they are available on BSTN 50% off for 150 in full size run if anyone's interested.
They are very, very nice. I have them in the classic brown, but they've got them in black. They've got them in green. They also have my pair is a few years old, so it's not completely waterproof. I mean, it's waterproof, but like the material isn't. But they have ones with like Gore-Tex, like a Gore-Tex membrane, so that they're even more waterproof than the ones I have. So definitely check those out if you're looking for something comfortable, warm, and weather resistant in the winter season. And as Josh said, they're on discount right now, so probably a good pickup for next year. Speaking of pickups, JD, what did you pick up in the last few weeks?
So I just, yesterday was the unveiling of the Kith loyalty program, which I have to say I was very impressed by the rollout of this program and basically the issue-free rollout of it, because when releasing a product like that, it's very common to have a lot of glitches, it's very common to have a lot of upset customers. But considering what they were able to accomplish, which is take like 12 years of data, people's purchase history, convert it into three tiers, and also there's a bunch of other features with the app as well, and then also give out this exclusive access to people in certain tiers. The fact that they were able to kind of roll that out in like a 2-day period, I was very impressed, because I'm impressed by good products. And this was the loyalty program for me is one of the best, because like think about all of their competitors, none of them have anything like this. So I was quite impressed with what Kith was able to accomplish there. And I was also lucky to find out that I did get access to the Kith Gazelles indoors in that very difficult to tell colorway. What does it look like to you? Because to me, in the original pictures, that pair looked kind of beige pinkish color.
Yeah.
And but then when I saw that video of Ronnie kind of like just holding it and twisting it around, it looked more gray to me. So I don't know what this color is, but I did order that pair, so I'm excited for it, and I believe you did as well.
Yep. Okay. I got a pair. Apparently they are going to be produced to order, right? So we have to wait 6 months most likely for them to arrive, which is, I didn't read the fine print. I saw them and I was like, yeah, fuck, I'm going to buy them. But, you know, no, but I'm happy to wait.
The thing about that is like when I ordered it, and on my order confirmation, it doesn't say made to order, because I think I ordered it immediately, like in the first 2 minutes. But then later on when I checked the app, it said made to order. But it didn't say that at first.
I've seen like the messaging around it, and like everywhere it says that this release is made to order. So I think I think they're all made to order. I would be surprised if we get ours before, you know, the summer. But yeah, you're right. I think it's hard to tell what colorway it is, but I mean, it's a gazelle. I prefer the gazelle over the Samba anyway. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted the Kith Clark Samba, never got it. And so I figured, you know what? Might as well pull the trigger on this one. So let's see what we get come June, July.
Yeah. It's also a colorway that like, it's the type of colorway that you typically love too.
Definitely.
So yeah, I'm glad to have picked that up. The Vomero 5 that I picked up recently, I believe it's called the Light Orwood Brown pair, which, yes, another super, super clean colorway as well. Gray and blue on the heel, really nice. But what I've been most excited about actually this month is the ridiculous amount of sales going on by every sneaker retailer, every streetwear retailer. The after Christmas period is like the best time to stock up on some pieces that you've had your eyes on for a while. And I've been really kind of saving my money for January. And this month I've been using some of that, because I've seen, you know, a lot of my favorite brands go 50% off, 70% off. I managed to get some stuff from Stussy, got a few other pieces as well from Engineered Garments, 70% off. Which, yeah, so it's great, man. Like the savings have been insane this month. At the end of the day, money is still coming out of my account. I know I'm still spending.
I was about to say,
you know, girl math. You know, I'm actually saving more than I'm spending. So I'm not spending anything. Yeah, no. Don't listen. Do not get financial advice from this podcast, guys.
Definitely not.
Yeah, and that's about it, man. Streetwear, the Kith Gazelles, and the Vomero 5s. What about yourself?
Very nice. So yeah, I mean, like we said, I got the Kith Gazelles, and then I actually also got a pair of Vomero 5s. I got the Photon Dust, which
is the nicest colorway to drop last year, in my opinion.
With the silver swoosh, with the metallic swoosh, super nice.
It restocked, right, on Nike?
they restocked pretty much everywhere. Like, I think Beeston had them, Sneakers and Stuff had them, Nike had them, but I was too slow. I saw them restock and I was like, should I? Should I not? And then my sizes were sold out because obviously it's a women's colorway. So some of the retailers don't have a full size run for men, at least. And then I decided to buy them on StockX and was like, you know what? Whatever. I'm going to pay for them resale. But I think in total, I paid 15 euros over retail because they retail for 160 and I paid 78 or something like that, just under 180 with shipping and fees and everything. So it feels like I paid retail. I'm very excited for them. And yeah, I can't wait to wear them because now I'm officially part of the Vomero 5
yes,
fan club.
Yes, welcome, bro. Welcome. Yes. We're always accepting members and you don't even have to get on the wait list to get in the club. I'm putting you straight into the club, man.
So kind,
we might even
so
get
kind.
You like a spot on the committee, if interested.
Like a junior vice president position. Yeah. I can work my way up. Very nice.
Actually, you know, now that you mentioned StockX, I completely forgot. I actually had another pickup this week, which I bought from StockX. That was the Adidas BW Army shoe. So that's like, you know, like the Mason Margiela Gats or whatever. I honestly, the reason for it is because I saw that hard copy collab on the shoe and I'm like, man, I've always wanted to get this. And I think it's probably a good idea. Maybe I'll get the original black and white. It's not black, white. It's just called BW, right? The original BW Adidas pair. And it was super cheap in my size on StockX. For some reason, like all the other sizes were way more. And in my size, after tax and shipping, I only paid 115. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna get it. Because it's not available at any other. It's all sold out. It came out last year, I believe, sold out everywhere. So I thought I might as well just get this in my size. So that was my other pickup that I forgot.
Very nice, yeah. The hard copy one's super nice, but I think in general the shoe is a dope shoe.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, so let's move into our main topic of this episode.
The topic du jour.
Topic du jour, yes. If we want to flex our French skills a little bit. So we're talking the best sneakers at Paris Fashion Week Fall Winter 2024. And as JD was saying earlier, we have picked, you know, a selection of the ones that we thought were stand out, maybe not the best, and maybe not the ones that will be the most coveted this year, but the ones that got the most attention and love on social media. And we tried to come up with a nice rounded list of different brands, different collaborators, different types of models. So we're just going to kick it right off with the Botter Reebok Energia, which is a wild looking shoe. It's very much on the trend that I was predicting to be big, which is football inspired sneakers. If you guys listened to the episode before this, where we, you know, had our big trend predictions for 2024, with the Euros coming up, with the Olympics coming up, with football being, you know, a big part of the Olympics as well, and basically going to be a huge part of the summer in 2024. It's no secret that a lot of brands are going to be focusing on football inspired silhouettes. We've seen the, you know, the Samba go big. The Gazelle is going to be big this year as well. You've got the Adidas Predator street style or like freestyle version, which is more of like a street version of the Predator, which is super nice. And then you've got Botter and Reebok combining for the Energia, which if you haven't seen this shoe, we're going to put the links for all these shoes in the show notes, but definitely go check it out. This shoe is very much futsal or indoor soccer inspired. It's got a football tongue, I would say, with a strap so that you can strap the tongue to the shoe, basically. And it comes in a lot of different cool colors. It's a very aggressive silhouette, I would say, and something that, I don't know, maybe is a little bit hard to pull off, but it probably also goes really well with this whole Y2K nostalgia and revival, right? Like, I feel like you could wear Y2K gear, like big baggy jeans and these shoes, and it would, yeah, it would teleport you back to like middle school days or like high school days, depending on how old you are, you know what I mean? But yeah, this is a really cool shoe. Big fan of the team that worked on this at Reebok, and Botter has been, you know, an underrated collaborator as well. They've got some really cool fashion forward and also technologically advanced projects with Reebok. So definitely go check out that. But JD, what do you think about this shoe?
Yeah, you called it, man. You said your number one prediction was football inspired. Clearly a very football inspired shoe. From what I'm reading here, it even says in the description that the sneakers are very much taken from Reebok's football archives from the early 2000s. So it is like you said it is. These colorways are a bit insane for me. Insane in a way where I'm like, I don't know if I can pull it off, especially like the crazy yellow and blue pair.
But there are two, like there's a full black one and then there's a tonal white pair as well.
Yeah, the black one was the one I'm like, okay, that black pair is, that's cool. Because the silhouette is just really nice, you know, like I can see, especially if you're into wearing Sambas, you can easily pull off a shoe like this. It's a very similar shape, I would say. Especially if you like the Sambas with the overlapping tongue as well, like a shoe like this. It's interesting though, that detail with the strap, where the strap can hold the tongue down. I wonder if like people would want to see that detail on a Samba as well, like on the Wales Bonner pairs, you know, like because people don't like the tongue flapping about so much. Imagine if there was like a strap that just held it down.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I like these. I actually like these a lot more than I expected to. The next sneaker we're going to talk about is the ASICS and CP Company Gel Quantum 360. ASICS and CP Company have collabed several times in the past, and these shoes also came out Paris Fashion Week. There was a pop-up at CP Company in Paris where the shoes were released, and I saw videos of the pop-up. There was a lineup around the block for these. Interesting colorways, interesting collab, especially the yellow pair, which, yeah, that looks like, it almost looks like a comic, like kind of like, something I would see in like a comic book or something, you know. It's a very, bright yellow.
It's like Wolverine,
and
you know?
I actually prefer that colorway over the more subtle one, the gray and black, midsole. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of the Gel Quantum 360 model, so I don't know if I'll be picking these up, but do you have any thoughts on this one?
I'm right there with you. I think that it's a weird one to collaborate on. I'm not a huge fan of the 360 either, from just an aesthetic point of view. I think that ASICS has a lot stronger models, both retro and new age, and CP Company is a brand that very much like Stone Island is kind of like luxury sportswear. It's always on the defining edge of, you know, garment technology and material innovation. And so it seems like a bit of a weird choice. I think the choice to work with CP Company and ASICS is a good one. And I think they're probably trying to mirror a little bit what Stone Island and New Balance are doing. Both brands, right, are trying to kind of, CP Company's trying to get in on the whole sneaker hype and the sportswear hype. And ASICS is trying to get some kind of luxury sportswear brand in there to, you know, drive material innovation on shoes. But these shoes just aren't really doing it for me. When I heard about the collaboration, I was actually very, very excited because I thought, okay, this is going to be like a New Balance Stone Island rival. And anyone who knows me knows that I love New Balance and Stone Island. But yeah, this one, I don't know. It's difficult for me. So that's why I would say it's probably a pass, but it was definitely interesting to see. And I think that's what Fashion Week is all about, right? Kind of not just testing the waters, but also just presenting new things. And this is definitely new. And I think it can only get better and grow from here. So definitely still very, very excited for this partnership over the next seasons, even years.
The fans of CP Company seem to be quite into the shoe, because when I saw the event, the unveiling of the sneaker in Paris and the release, everyone in the line had like CP Company gear on and CP Company hats on, you know, the beanies with the lenses in them. So I think, you know, fans of the brand probably really appreciate it. But yeah, I would say for me, it's a bit of a pass.
Yeah. The next shoe on our list is not a sneaker, it's a shoe, and it is a very, very interesting one. It is the Louis Vuitton Timberland boot, and there's several versions of this boot. What is there to say? I mean, it's Pharrell's first big footwear statement as head creative director of Louis Vuitton Men's, and it's definitely a statement, man. I mean, it was unexpected, and when those were teased on social media, that was all I saw in my feed. I don't know what it was like for you, but mm-hmm. these were it.
I mean, for me, this is a very substantial collab. Like, for me, this is, okay, maybe not as big, but this is, to me, as like almost as big as the Nike Louis Vuitton partnership, because we're talking about like a super established brand in footwear collaborating with a high fashion label, and also like a very staple brand, you know, like Tim's have just been around since the beginning, you know, of time, it feels like. And they didn't try to do too much. That's what I kind of like with the collab, you know. They kind of threw their logo in there. I felt like a lot of the Nike Air Force One Louis Vuittons, a lot of them look like, you know, bootleg sneakers. These, I feel like they look more high fashion. They look like the branding is a bit more subtle. I personally prefer this collab more than the Nike Louis Vuitton one. And yeah, it definitely turned the internet on fire, like you were saying. Apparently, Google searches for Timberland more than doubled on those days. And in fact, the most Googled search term with regards to Timberland that day was Timberland Louis Vuitton price. Everyone wants to know what these are going to retail for. What's your guess? Like, what do you think the retail is going to be on these?
Oof. I mean, if the Air Force Ones were already 2,000, I can see it being similar, you know?
Yeah.
I can see these being around, 2,000 upwards. Maybe the cheaper ones, like 1,600, 1,800 euros. But I would be surprised if they're anything less than that. And yeah, you said it. I'm a big fan of the Air Force One collaboration. I actually like the fact that they looked like bootlegs, and I think that was the whole point of the collection. But it is, yeah, it's a statement to do a collaboration with Timberland. And my favorite is, because there's different ones, right? There's the one with the all-over monogram logo. And then there's the ones that look a little bit more like riding boots. There's the ones that have like a rubber cap on their toe. But my favorite is just the classic wheat colored Timberland, and then you've got the monogram on the inside of the tongue, so that when you wear it with the tongue flapped out, you see that, like, you see like a hint of Louis Vuitton. I think that's just,
yeah, that's fire.
It's so
that,
good.
That to me was easily the most fire pair as well. What about like the fact that one of the biggest themes of Paris Fashion Week this year seemed to be this whole workwear concept, right? Like Louis Vuitton's, like Pharrell's entire show, it seemed like the models were all wearing what looked like Carhartt jackets, but they said, you know, Louis Vuitton on them, you know, your traditional Carhartt chore jackets. And it also, it wasn't even just Louis Vuitton, it was some other brands that seemed to also do their interpretation of Carhartt, you know, at the runway, which you know, had me thinking. Also, you know, those Carhartt hoodies, the ones that's those really thick ones with the zipper, and you just wear like the hoodie on top, and they usually come in like denim materials. We saw Louis Vuitton do their take on that as well. So it seemed like American workwear was like the main theme of Paris Fashion Week this year, which is interesting. You know, is it like not so imaginative, you know, because they're kind of just putting their logo on a very established piece of clothing, or is it more of like an homage to Carhartt? I don't know. It's difficult to say.
I think it depends on your opinion of luxury fashion, right? And the trends. I think it was only a matter of time before this happened, because workwear has been a trend for so long. And what I find interesting is that, like you said, the trend focused on like two or three different Carhartt jackets, and Miu Miu did it as well. And what I'm thinking is, how is it possible that all of these different designers have the same idea?
Dude, I was literally thinking the exact same thing. Like, do they all call each other before Paris Fashion Week? Like, yo, are you doing Carhartt jackets? Okay, us too. You know, like, I didn't get that. Like, do they pre-plan this? Like, and this seems to happen every Paris Fashion Week, right? Like, there's a theme always, it feels like.
I don't know. I mean, I like it. I thought, you know, it looked nice. It looked good. But do you need to pay 3,000 euros for a jacket when you can get it for 160 or 150 at Carhartt? Probably not, right? Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a customer that will pay that much to look like they shopped at Carhartt but got it from Louis Vuitton. So, I mean, you know, to each their own. I think it's a cool aesthetic. It looks cool. And it was only a matter of time before luxury and the luxury industry tapped it. But yeah, I mean, let's see where this goes. And let's see if we, you know, end up seeing a lot of people wearing luxury workwear in Berlin and in other major cities in the world.
I feel like Timberland and Carhartt were actually the brands of Paris Fashion Week. Because, I mean, we obviously had these homages to Carhartt, but there was also I think Junior Watanabe had some Carhartt jackets too on his show. And then obviously Timberland kind of stole the show as well. So interesting to see how those two brands seem to be the biggest winners.
Yeah, exactly. I think they definitely take a big W this season. And I think that this will, you know, snowball into like, you know, more spotlights and more collaborations. Timberland might, you know, think that why can't we be the next Birkenstock and collaborate with everyone and this be like the first collaboration they do. So I think time will tell, but I think we're all in agreement here that the Louis Vuitton Tims were an excellent statement by Pharrell and his team. Moving on to the next shoe on our list, it is back to sneakers. And we're talking here about the Comme des Garçons Hoka shoe. And this is the first time that Hoka is really going high fashion, which a lot of its competitors have already done, On Running, New Balance, etc. It's a nice shoe. I would say not, you know, the most exciting shoe, but that's kind of what happens with Comme des Garçons. They keep it very, very classic. And this one is an all black shoe. It is relatively quiet. It's called the Hoka TC 1.0. And I don't know what else there is to say about it other than if you are into Hoka, if you are into luxury, high fashion, if you're into Comme des Garçons, this might be the shoe for you. Triple black Hoka sneaker.
I know Comme des Garçons, they like subtlety in their collabs. I get that. But this is a whole nother level of, for me, in my opinion at least, this is a whole other level of a lazy sneaker collab, man. Because this is literally the Hoka TC 1.0, which is, if you just search for that shoe, you'll see what I'm talking about. It is literally the TC 1.0 with two gold rings on it. That's it. Like, all they did was add two gold rings to the laces, and the rest of the shoe is exactly like untouched. Like, this is not a sneaker collab to me. This is like someone took his pair of Hokas and put his keychain on it. You know, it's.
But I mean, it's a Comme des Garçons collab because they do this quite often, right? So I think it's targeting a very specific customer, someone who already shops Comme des Garçons and wants that like minimal extra edge just to be different. And that's what they're getting here. They're getting the base product with two rings on it, as you say.
I feel like, you know, you can go right now and buy the Hoka TC 1.0 on sale at a lot of stores for maybe like 100 or 120 euros and just add two gold rings to it yourself, guys, instead of paying, I don't know what it's going to cost for this collab. But man, this collab is making me think, I feel like it's an insult to collabs. It's not a collab.
Shots fired.
Yeah, man.
Next on our list is another Comme des Garçons sneaker, this time Comme des Garçons Homme with New Balance. And these are two brands that have worked together several times in the past. This time they're working on the New Balance 860 V2. And JD, I'm going to let you walk us through this sneaker and your thoughts on it.
All right. So first impression is the shoes look a little weird to me. Is this the first New Balance shoe I've seen where gray doesn't look good on it? Like, I feel like gray is not working on the 860 V2 at all. It looks a little strange. I feel like that model, what Amy Leondor did to it was very nice. Even some of the GR colorways, which came out last year, the white and the black pair, which I own, looks very nice on that model. For some strange reason, gray is not working for me on the 860 V2. And this
I don't know if it's the gray. You know what I think? I think it's the materials, because they've switched up the materials. The ones that you have, the Dime collaboration, the Amy Leondor collaboration, those are all like still very athletic leaning. They've got like that big whole mesh, that athletic polyester, etc. And on this one, they've used the standard New Balance 990 upper mesh material, the polyester. And I think that's what it is. It's not so much the color, but the materials that they've changed up. They've made it look like, honestly, this could just be another 2002R or 990 or whatever. You know what I mean? And so I'm there with you. It feels a little bit off. I don't know. Yeah. For me, it's the materials, I think.
That's a good observation, actually. I didn't pay much attention to the materials. There's the other colorway as well. There seems to be a black colorway, which looks very GR to me, but I guess that's pretty common with Comme des Garçons collabs, and that's a common critique of them. But I guess now that you mentioned the different materials, and you spoke earlier about the type of customer, I would say that Comme des Garçons has, it does kind of tick their boxes, right? Because it's a New Balance 860 in materials that you would never find, so it's kind of unusual in that sense. And it comes in your rather clean, everyday colorways that you can wear, black, gray. So it kind of is a pretty standard Comme des Garçons collab in that sense. But as far as like just the looks, I don't think they look that good, in my opinion. So it's kind of a pass for me.
Yeah, it's one of those rare New Balance misses, especially on collaborations that are previewed at Fashion Week. But hey, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that'll think these are nice. Let's move on to the next shoe. We are sticking with New Balance, but we're switching out the collaborator. Orally, New Balance 990 V4. I know you have strong feelings about this shoe.
I think they look incredible, man. The colorway is so nice, especially that dark gray pair with the blue on the heel. Wow, so clean. I absolutely love it. It reminds me a lot of another collab actually that dropped a couple years ago, which was like the This Is Never That 2002R, which feels like almost the identical colorway. Or was it a 1906? I can't remember. But I just remember seeing an almost identical shade of gray with like a blue N and a blue on the heel as well. And but it looks even better in the 990 V4. This is a pair that I'm circling on the calendar. We're only probably going to get this in the fall, winter of this year. I think most of the Paris Fashion Week items release in the fall. So I got my eyes on this one, man. And also we have this other blue pair as well, which looks just as good. Really, really gorgeous colorway. 990 V4 too. Also for me, just one of my favorite 990s. So I'm all in on this collab, man. Orally and New Balance for me are just one of the best New Balance collaborative partners.
I don't know. Honestly, I think the 990 V4 is a great shoe. I think Orally has, it's an incredible brand with some beautiful pieces, and the colors they use, the like soft pastels and yeah, the materials, the textures that they put onto their pieces are just really, really nice and well thought out. And I can see that these New Balance shoes are also very well thought out. But for me, on the gray pair, that like baby blue is just, I don't know, it looks out of place to me. And I can understand why a lot of people are going crazy over them, yourself included, and some other people that I follow on social media. And I would say, like, yes, it is a nice shoe, but personally, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it that much. I do like the blue pair better, the one that has, like, a darker blue upper. But if I had to, like, you know, put these on a copper drop list, I probably would drop them. I don't know if I would pick these up, to be honest with you. It's probably a shoe that I can appreciate from a distance, but don't necessarily need to have, just because it doesn't really work for me. But as you said, Orly, New Balance, they have a long standing history. Some of their 550s were, you know, highly coveted. Mm-hmm. And I think there will be a lot of people that will definitely like these shoes. I mean,
yeah.
Orly New Balance always sells out. Orly is pretty hype right now as well. High Snobiety actually sells them on their eShop, and a lot of the pieces sometimes go on sale. Little insider tip for you if you want to pick those up.
High Snobiety has a crazy sale right now, actually.
Yeah, like, keep that on the down low, man. Like, no, High Snobiety always has a very, very good sale because they have some very cool brands that, you know, more often than not, don't really sell out on their site. So if you're ever looking for something that not many other retailers in your area have, check out High Snobiety. They also ship worldwide. So it's, yeah, it's definitely a good place to pick some stuff up on the cheap. Let's move on to the next pair on our list. And I've said this the last two times, but I know that you're going to like these ones because it's Wales Bonner. It's a Samba. It's a Wales Bonner Samba. JD, take it away.
Dude, absolutely, man. Especially there was three pairs that were showcased or highlighted, right? There was two of the ones that seemed to be generally releasing, or no, there was actually only two pairs that got showcased. One was the white pair with the shorter tongue and the blue stripes, which, yeah, obviously must cop for me. I'm getting those, and those are not leaving the rotation at all this year. I actually just got this cardigan from Stussy on sale that I think is gonna look so perfect with those Wales Bonners. So I already, like, have the fit in mind. So I definitely need to cop those. But the other pair that really interested me was the much more limited black leather pair with the gold or copper dots on the stripe, which is very unusual to see from Wales Bonner. I say highly limited because there's only going to be 750 pairs made worldwide, and each of them are numbered as well. I hope to get a pair. In fact, I actually already, like, reached out to the brand to, like, send me a pair, but I don't know if they will. But I'm like, bro, nobody promotes your shoe more than me on YouTube, man. So you got to send me a pair. But let's see. Let's see if they actually will. But, man, these black joints are so, so hard to me. Oh, my God. Those gold dots, too, it just adds, like, it's already a luxury shoe, but it feels even more luxury with that buttery, super buttery leather and the gold on there. So, man, if I can get one of those 750 pairs, I will be super, super happy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they look very, like, rock star as well. Yes. Like, the gold studs on the stripes, it gives it almost like it's almost like this is a leather jacket for your feet, like one of those, like, rock star biker leather jackets for your feet. And maybe that's where Wales Bonner took inspiration from. I don't know. It's just what is jumping out to me at first glance. Yeah, really nice pair. And I wish you all the luck in the world to get these, because 750 worldwide, that is extremely limited. Like, we're talking, if a store in Berlin gets them, they might only get, like, 5 to 10 pairs.
Less. You know what I mean? Probably, like,
I mean,
two.
Maybe not less, because, like if we're looking at, like, 75 cities, right, with 10 each, although you're right, maybe, like, New York would get, like, I don't know, 50, and London might get a little bit more or whatever, but I don't know. I think it's definitely going to need some connections at stores and stuff to get these bad boys, because I feel like a lot of people will be after these. And these are also, like, the antithesis to the silver metallic ones. What I'd really love to is to see someone wear the silver metallic one on one foot and then these on the other as like a juxtaposition kind of thing. I think that would be really cool. But yeah, beautiful shoe. Wales Bonner and Adidas continuing to kill it. Who says that the Samba is dead? Because when there's releases like this one, the Samba just cannot die. It's just a really nice shoe.
Like another strong year for Adidas and the Gazelles and the Sambas. All right, moving on to a next shoe that I know you are very excited to talk about. Let's go. Let's discuss this. Another Comme des Garçons. This is the third Comme des Garçons pair we talked about in this episode. But this one might be the best one. This is the Nike Air Max TL 2.5. Looks like it's going to be dropping in three colorways. Take it away, Fobs. What are your thoughts on these?
Oh, man. I mean, this is the Air Max TL 2.5. So basically the next version of the Air Max 97. The Air Max 97 famously being the first Air Max with a full-length visible air unit in the sole, also called the Air Max TL. And this one is the 2.5. So you're getting like 97 vibes from it, right? The upper has that same kind of pattern on the top, that like wavy pattern. But there's some slight differences to it. And this is one of those shoes, one of those Nike Air Max shoes that, you know, was a fan favorite and then has disappeared and has popped up over the years as like vintage pairs, and people have bought vintage pairs and worn them and maybe resold them, and like resold as in like put a new sole on them, not like resold them, to be able to wear them so many years after they first came out. And it's one of those like really techie 2000s running shoes where you're like, okay, I see what you're doing, you know, and it still looks futuristic and cool now. And as you said, there's three colorways. There's an all black colorway, there's an all white colorway, and then there's a white and black colorway, which I have to say the white and black colorway is my favorite because the contrast between the white and the black is just so good. The details really pop on that one. And I don't know. It's just such a clean shoe. I know I said this about the Bambaclava Action Bronson New Balance 1906, but this might be one of the shoes of the year. I would have to say, like, if I can get my hands on these and the Action Bronson New Balances, then I will be a very, very happy man this year. And probably if I could get those two shoes, I wouldn't need any other shoes for the rest of the year. That's how good these are.
Yeah, without a doubt, the white and black pair with the contrasting stripes on them, wow, like easily the best colorway out of the three. It looks incredible because the top half is black with white contrasting, the bottom is white with little black lines on them, and the interplay, I would say, between the top and the bottom is just so beautiful to look at. It's a shoe that doesn't have a lot of colors, yet it seems like colorful. I absolutely love it. I've never really even heard of the TL 2.5 before this collab, so definitely have some learning to do there. But it seems like Nike is going to be pushing that model a lot more this year. In addition to this CDG collab, there's some GR pairs that are supposed to be released at some point this year. Probably the CDG pair will be kickstarting the hype on that pair. I think also so far, based on all the sneakers we've seen, at least pictures of this year, yeah, I think this is an early contender in my opinion as well for like at least, at the very least, like a top five sneaker of the year. We'll see. CDG, I would say one of the brands also that kind of stole the show, at least when it comes to footwear, at this Paris Fashion Week. A lot of sneaker collabs on the way. And this one,
yeah,
easily the best one.
Yeah, I mean, divide and conquer for Comme des Garçons, because there's so many sub labels that like each of them does a collaboration with someone else, and then suddenly you have CDG everywhere. But yeah, definitely one of the winners of this Paris Fashion Week. We are on to our final shoe of today, and we're gonna leave you with a bit of a wild one and a bit of a maybe controversial one, maybe not, we'll see. We're talking about the Junior Watanabe New Balance 1906 R loafer.
Sneaker, man, loafer.
What a wild design, huh?
You know what, like, I really love about this pair? It's that it's not really the first time we've seen you know, like a dress shoe combining with a sports shoe. You know, like it reminded me a lot of the Cole Haan sneakers. You remember the Lunar Lawns, right? Like, yeah. Those were like a brogue dress shoe with Lunar Lawn at the bottom. But I think what makes these particularly amazing is that this is the first time where it doesn't feel like half of the sneaker is a loafer and the other half is a sneaker. Like, the top, the upper of the shoe is literally taken like directly from the 1906 R, and they've just added basically like the leather on top to make it look like a loafer. So I feel like the integration is something we've never really seen before in previous attempts at a sneaker loafer, which is what really kind of stood out to me. And as soon as I saw this, I'm like Googling, like, when is the release date for these? Because I absolutely want this shoe. This is like at the very top of my sneakers that I want to buy this year, or shoes that I want to buy this year. I was also like, I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what do I want to wear on my wedding day. So like, my wedding is in August of this year. And I know I'm a big sneakerhead, but at the same time, I think sneakers with a suit are just, you know, I just don't think that's a good look. So I didn't want to really wear a sneaker on that day. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to buy some dress shoes. But if these release before my wedding day, then I'm like, man, I am wearing those on my wedding, because that's the perfect item to go with what I'm planning to wear. So yeah, man, I'm hoping these release, you know, before August, then I can get those. But yeah, I absolutely love this pair, not gonna lie.
So I really like this pair as well, but I feel like there's a better version of these that came out already.
Really?
Yeah, by Reebok from 2019, so from 5 years ago. There's this really, really sick, like, if you Google Cottweiler Reebok, they've got this very dope loafer with a nice, like, really aggressive sole, and I find it works better there than it does on the Junior Watanabe 1906R. Both are very good, but I have to say that I'm more of a fan of the Reebok one. But this also kind of is in line with one of the trends we talked about in our last episode, which was, you know, mule sneakers. But, you know, obviously, like, hybrid loafer sneakers kind of fall under that umbrella as well. And I think it's an interesting one. I think a lot of people were talking about it as well. And yeah, I would definitely be... Wait, give me a second. Lenny is crying. I'll just pick it up and then we can cut.
Okay.
But I'm going to let it record and then I'll just jump back in. Give me like 2 seconds. Okay. I'll jump back in.
Okay.
And I think if you did wear these to your wedding, I would definitely be for it. You know, they're a very, very nice looking shoe. And I think what Junior Watanabe has been able to do is expertly link kind of the sneaker identity of the 1906R with the more formal identity of a leather loafer. So dude, if you're gonna buy these, I'm supporting you right now, man. I want to see you wearing these for your wedding.
You are really a sneaker historian, man, because I had no idea about this Cottweiler collab, so I had to Google it while you were talking. And yeah, that is a really, really, really nice sneaker loafer as well. And it reminds me a little bit of like kind of like the Balenciaga Triple S in a way, with the way that that outsole kind of just pops out like that. And yeah, I also can't even decide right now which one I like better, that Cottweiler Reebok or these Junior Watanabes. But since those are pretty much out of reach at this point, the Reebok, since they were 5 years ago, I'm probably going to go for the Juniors. But yeah, let's hope they release in time for me to get them, because yeah, these are sick, man. These are absolutely sick. Good job, Junior and New Balance. And that's about it. So like, that's it. That's it for our list of sneakers to go through on Paris Fashion Week. Hope you guys enjoyed that recap. As usual, we're going to end off the episode with our upcoming drops. So I'll be honest, guys, there wasn't a whole lot coming out in the next couple of weeks, so we tried to really dig deep and look for certain releases that are kind of under the radar to give you guys. So let's go with on February 1st, there is the Converse and Swarovski Chuck 70s, which should be releasing also on Nike. Then we have on February 2nd, the Brazil Dunk Lows. Yeah, you guys know that very popular colorway of the Dunk Low. They seem to, you know, Nike's trying to restart the hype on the dunks, it feels like, this year, because a lot of very popular colorways are coming back, like the Iowas, the Brazils. Also the Ugly Duckling pack is restocking this year. So, yeah, they're trying to, you know, kickstart the hype a little bit. Let's see if it actually works. I would say the best sneaker releasing in the next couple of weeks, and this is really weird for me to say since I'm not a big fan of the shoe, but the Jordan 3 Craft Ivory will be releasing on February the 3rd. Super clean pair. Like, I feel like if someone said this was a collab, like an Armand Manier or just whatever, if they attach the collaboration aspect to the sneaker, people will already be calling it like, oh yeah, these are Jordan of the Year, sneaker of the year, as people like to do. And I feel like it's such a clean pair of Jordan 3s. So look out for those. And then on February the 6th, a sneaker that I'm actually kind of interested in is the Feng Cheng Wang collaboration with Converse on the Chuck 70 Low. I actually own the high tops in my own collection, the original orange and cream colorway, which I absolutely love. So I might pick up the lows as well just to kind of complete the collection. And then finally, we have another colorway dropping of the Nike Lunar Rome. I know, Fobs, you've talked a lot about how much you enjoy that sneaker. So we're going to be seeing a lot more colorways dropping of this shoe this year, starting off with the Platinum Tint and Desert Moss colorway, which will be dropping on February the 9th. And that's about it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode of the Kickback Pod. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and follow both of our individual Instagram accounts as well. All of that information can be found in the description of this video. Thank you. Sorry, not video. That was YouTube brain kicking in. The description of this podcast. Thank you guys so much. And shout out to you, Fobs, once again. Another great episode. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And see you guys next time.
Peace.